Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea or a bunch of movies that are already made into pitches for movies that are probably not as good. My name is Freddie Wong. I'm your host.
I'm Will Campos, and you know what? These movies are going to be even better. That's what I think. I'm putting that out there. Mm-hmm. You got to believe it to achieve it, my friends. Mm-hmm.
Hello, my name is Matt Arnold. I happen to be a new father of somebody who will be enjoying these movies rather soon, because we're tackling Disney Channel original movies. And if I know anything from my time at Disney, these are wholesome films for the whole family, starting like age like six or something. Like, she's not gonna be watching this shit before then. Are you kidding? Rot her brain with this garbage. All right, I'm excited. I think Disney Channel original movies are kind of like my Hallmark movies, probably just because I worked at Disney on these licensed projects of like these sort of films, that there's just something incredibly, they're like charming in like a similar way of Hallmark movies, but weirder because they're directed towards children. So
just for a little bit of a background for people who don't know.
Yes.
We have Disney, the media conglomerate. In the US, there's the Disney Channel, a cable network. Since 1983, they created movies for that channel. They originally were called Disney Channel Premiere Films. From 97 on, they were called Disney Channel Original Movies.
They were actually legally required to. Congress came in and said, hey, you can't use the word premiere.
Yeah. Wait, really?
No, that's false advertisement. You gotta just admit they're just movies. They're not premiere movies.
These are, you know, made for TV movies. Some of them you have heard of for sure. The ones that are the most popular, most famous titles, such as High School Musical, is probably the most famous out of all of them.
Yeah, there's some classics in here for sure.
A little movie called Johnny Tsunami, my friends.
Little known fact, the original Matrix was a Disney Channel original movie.
I'm just speaking, Will, to the ones that like are Australian and UK like fans and listeners would have probably heard about. The Descendants series, perhaps.
I see. Well, maybe they've heard about Johnny Tsunami 2 Surfs Up London. I'm making that up. That's not a real one.
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of them. How many are there total?
We have a list of 110. They have made 110
at least
since 1997, at least. But this is the D23 official fan club list. So that's like 3 to 4 a year. It's like a good amount.
This idea comes to us from Sean Patrick Doyle on our Facebook group, bit.ly/storybreakfb. And Sean made this incredible suggestion, which was y'all should do a lightning round where you break a bunch of Disney Channel original movies from the 90s and 2000s based only on their posters. And then he included a picture. And these posters are pretty rowdy. They're fun, goofy posters. So we were like, this sounds like a great idea. And what a better way to pay honor to the classic genre of the Disney Channel original movie than to guesstimate write a bunch of them. So
by the way, you know the real way to do this? We fucked up. We should have called this episode D23 and we do 23 movies in one
Shit.
Hour.
God. Do you guys just want to do that?
23.
Wait. 23. How many would that be? So D23. So was it 23 and then with the
That's
pack?
That's one every 2.5
It'd be like
minutes.
One every 3. It would be nonsense. It would just be us guessing. We wouldn't even be able to break a story.
That's shooting big game. Yeah, that might be too
much.
No. We're going to do five.
We'll do five. 2+3.
Yes, 2+3.
Yes, there you go. D23. D2+3 is 5. We're doing 5 of them.
5 movies.
Well, bullshitted.
So the person said from the 90s to the 2000s, which makes me think actually it will help us not get into the ones that people know if we stop at 2010. However, 2011 does have one called Lemonade Mouth, and I refuse to not at least give us a chance to get Lemonade Mouth. So I'm going to say between movies 1 to 88, that gives us till 2011.
On this
I will do a random number generator, and the only thing we can go off of is the title and the poster. We will not Wikipedia the plot. We're just going to figure out these movies as they are, correct?
Okay, yes, correct.
Let's go. My body is ready.
And we'll describe the posters once we pull them up.
And I promise I won't cheat. I won't force us to get Lemonade Mouth. I just love that name so much.
Okay, Matt, the random number generator, sir.
Dude, we're so close. 87.
No!
Geek Charming.
I'm pulling up the poster right now for
Geek Charming
Disney.
Oh, this poster is different than I thought it was. This poster is very different.
I'll describe this.
Describe it, Freddie.
So really quick, it's Geek Charming or Geek Charming. The poster is a light purple background gradient. It appears to be a giant woman holding her palm out, looking at camera with a coy smile. And in her palm sits a Regular size, I assume, teenager.
She's obviously normal size and he's small, Freddy.
It could be one of the others. It could be that she's giant and he's normal size, or
it could also be a quirky poster thing.
It could be a poster.
That's true. Also, by the way, it's not just a woman. It is our good friend that we met once on D44, Sarah Hyland.
Oh my God, it's Sarah. Oh God, it is Sarah Hyland. You're right. I didn't even recognize her.
Yep, Sarah Hyland. So this is a good one. This is a premium content.
God,
one.
I feel bad. We've worked with Sarah Hyland.
Sorry, keep describing the poster. She's holding Sarah Hyland. Is holding a tiny man
She's
in her hand.
A tiny man. The tiny man looks like a typical teen. He's got an Apple laptop on his lap, and by the way, stickers all over the back of it because they can't show the Apple logo. He's wearing like a brown pants, some looks like Converse, like a sweatshirt, and he's holding what appears to be, I can't tell what he's fucking holding. He's like a black...
I'll tell you, it's a poster.
No. What's this black object that he has in his hand? It looks like a big remote control.
I can't tell.
It looks like a fleshlight.
It does kind of look like a fleshlight.
Sorry.
It's some sort of electronic gizmo. It might be a camera.
Some sort of electronic gizmo. And then all around him, attached in no clear way, appear to be a number of banners, all of which in different various sort of stylistic formats say, vote Dylan for Blossom Queen.
Okay, this is good. There's a lot more going on than I thought. Geek Charming was going to be like, oh, it's a geek and he's got to get dressed up and like, you know, it's going to be like, she's all that, but with a guy.
Princess Diaries, he's the geek, his brother's like
but
the...
But this is evocative. Who is this Dylan? His
why
name is clearly
he so
Dylan.
Small?
And why is he voting? What's his campaign? What's the Blossom Queen? And then how does Sarah Hyland... Who's most of the poster?
Oh, she's so large.
Okay, Sarah Hyland is a 50-foot woman. Let's just go with it, guys.
Okay, all right, okay. We're going now. Clock starts now.
The timer is on, so we got 10 minutes on the clock. So, yeah, so we're saying Sarah Hyland is a giant teenager who goes to a new high school and meets Dylan.
And a hint. Vote Dylan for Blossom Queen. Sarah Hyland has on her wrist a flower garland, perhaps insinuating that she, in fact, is the Blossom Queen, the large giant that dominates.
What if this is kind of like a gender reverse BFG, and she is a part of a bunch of giant women, and she, I don't know what they did. In BFG, the giants go around, they take dreams, they feed off of kids' dreams, and then one of the kids like finds her way back to the BFG's lair, and then you find out the giant is actually like the runt of the giants. I don't know. Maybe he like goes back to the giant group and they in this giant civilization have something called the Blossom Queen and she doesn't want to be it or
but
something
he does.
And asks still. I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
Here's things we need to establish. Number one.
Wait a second. Hold on. Pump the brakes. We are assuming that she is not Dylan. He could be her campaign manager.
Oh.
That's a name that can go different ways. So
that's
it could
true.
Be that Dylan is trying to become the Blossom Queen of the giant land. And this human teen is like some sort of like, maybe he's like the guy at the school who gets like people elected class president and stuff like that.
That's
and now
good.
He's got to do the toughest job of all, getting this giant geek. She's such a nerd and he's got to get her to be Blossom
Queen.
I got it.
From her perch on Mount Olympus, right? She looks down into the human world and sees this hip, cool, social media connected campaign manager teen. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like a Karl Rove in his youth.
Like a real teenage Pod Save America vibe.
Yeah,
this kid.
Whatever. So he's getting class presidents elected. He's glad handing. He knows how to play the game in the high school. And Dylan, looking down from Mount Olympus, is like, I need this person so that they can run my campaign.
Okay. It's kind of like Cinderella meets BFG meets Jack and the Beanstalk. It's like,
yes.
She is like a stepsister or like the servant, and like all the other cool kids, nobody thinks she could possibly get Blossom Queen of her cool giant high school on Mount Olympus. And then so then she, you know, at night alone while she's cleaning the floors for Zeus or whatever, you know, looks down upon us mere mortals and sees this cool kid with a fleshlight and says like, okay,
just
like
this kid,
just cranking it. No, this kid feels like, well, okay, wait, let's pump the brakes.
Okay, we pumped the brakes twice already.
Maybe there's a different way that they meet up. Maybe like it's an accident.
She kidnaps him.
Hear me out. It's like the teens are on a field trip to Mount Olympus. And all the teens are like, this is boring. Like, there's no real gods on Mount Olympus. And then Christos Christodoulou, our Greek teen, is goofing off with his friends, you know, like with his digital camera, and he accidentally steps on the part of Mount Olympus at the top that shoots you up into like the clouds where all the gods are.
Yes.
I don't know. And then he's like, the only way he can get back home is if this girl wins the election.
Oh, okay, so I like that. It's okay, so now we're adding in Ratatouille. If he's the rat, he shows up accidentally to Mount Olympus.
He's like yanking and her hair to be like, this is what you need to say during this campaign speech. When I pull on your ear, that means fucking attack. That means go hard.
She's about to flick him off the mountain. Oh, the reason, yes, okay, they are going to whatever,
he's
Zeus.
He's trespassed into the immortal realm, and he does not belong there. And then so she hides him because he's a savant. He's a whiz with the demos, you know?
He is like a cynical, like, win at all costs. He was like helping the class bully win.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about what's the right. He just cares about winning campaigns. And like, he was sneaky. He was like breaking into some place to do some shady campaign tactics. And that shoots him up into Mount Olympus.
Here's what it is. He was breaking into Mount Olympus to conduct some sort of like arcane sacrifice to the old gods.
No. Was like, this. Hear me out. He was like, okay, I'm going to do the ultimate campaign stunt for this shitty bully mean girl that I want to win this election, right? So he snuck up to the top of Mount Olympus with a gigantic banner that says Vote Heather. And then he's going to drape it on Mount Olympus. And that's what he's in the middle of doing when he gets launched up to the immortal realm. Like, he's in the middle of doing his stupid promo stuff. I remember growing up in Boulder. So there's the Flatirons, which are these beautiful sort of like giant rock faces in the Rocky Mountains, which are like part of the iconic look of Boulders.
Yeah.
And they look like big flat red irons. That's why they got their name. And a bunch of fucking frat bro idiots wrote CU on one of them, for Colorado University. And so, like, my entire childhood, it just said CU on this fucking mountainside. Like, they just defaced this beautiful mountain. So I feel like that's what he's doing. He's defacing this mountain to get Heather elected to be school prom comptroller or whatever.
Holy shit, I'm finding
a picture. How much time do we have left, Freddy?
We have 4 minutes.
Okay, we got some
time. Okay, so bing, bang, boom. So, yeah. So he's cynical.
What's her thing?
So she is the loneliest giant on...
She's the geek.
She's the
honest.
Geek. Yes, she's the
this
geek.
This guy's pretty cool in the poster. Sarah Hyland's a big old geek. If there's one thing Sarah Hyland's known for is being a geek. So yeah, she's the geek. That's the twist. You didn't expect that.
Yeah, Twisterino.
She's the geek and he's the charming.
What is the Blossom Queen and why does she need to get elected to it, right?
The Blossom Queen is the god or goddess that like ushers in springtime on Earth.
She plays the equivalent of Warhammer on Mount Olympus. Mm-hmm. And she uses figures that are like them. So like she picks him up by accident thinking he's a figure. Mm-hmm. And that's all. So I was saying, in terms of why she's
just
a geek,
trying to work Warhammer into it.
Yeah, no, but she's just like a big geek that nobody likes on Mount Olympus because she's more interested in like earthly things and like the little lives
Warhammer
of mortals.
Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, her Warhammer is just like the Civil
Warhammer.
War.
Actually, no, fuck it. She just straight up plays Warhammer. No, okay.
Okay.
Sorry, what were we gonna say?
Well,
Freddy?
Before I was interrupted, I was about to say that I think that the Blossom Queen is the role of the Greek gods to usher in springtime. And with it is conferred all manner of benefits and accolades. You know, that makes sense to me.
Yes. You know what it really is? Okay, this is good. This is the turn. This is the third heat we need. This is the test of our... What's the name you gave our boy, Will?
Christos Christodoulou. So I have a friend, Anthony Christodoulou, and his dad is named Christos.
So Christos...
My friend Anthony's dad.
The low point is you realize that the Blossom Queen is the person he gets to choose to sacrifice on Mount Olympus. I feel like he gets her to be the Blossom Queen, and then she, like, murders somebody, and then he comes back being like, you know what? Politics and stuff, like...
Not for me.
Not for me. This is too much. Like, it's like...
to pumping my fleshlight.
She's like, thank you so much for making me the Blossom Queen. Now I get to choose which one.
The mortals.
Mount Olympus to sacrifice. To Kronos, the Titan.
Kronos, the God Eater, the
He's
Titan.
Like, oh, shit.
All right, we've chewed up a lot of time on the Blossom Queen.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, so she needs the old Blossom Queen has retired.
Has been murdered by the new gods.
So why is our girl the best Blossom Queen?
Oh, here... Just make it, I mean, this is this Disney movie. It's classic. It is, she's all that. Like, she wants to be Blossom Queen because she likes some popular guy in the school. And the whole thing, you're playing the classic story of, like, well, she's obviously going to fall in love with Christos because they're, like, the thing. And then at the end, she's like, no, you're 4 feet tall. Like, no, you're the size of my hand. Like, we're not, that's not the way this works.
Or it not. It feels a little... anticlimactic.
Yeah, that's
what's
true.
The heat? Okay, so all right, let's say the Blossom Queen is like being in charge of the prom, right? Like, let's just like there's, okay. The Blossom Queen is in charge of the prom festival, and like that they throw and that she is in charge of bringing springtime into the world. I like that idea that Freddie threw out there. That's
okay,
like an
yeah,
easy like,
good.
And she's like, spring's beautiful. It makes me so happy because I have a secret sad past, and you know, blah blah blah, like one of those, right? And then you would do that, like, so she wants to become Blossom Queen, but she's like shy and soft spoken or whatever, and he's gonna teach her how to be like a politician, but then of course she's gonna go dark, or like she's gonna have to make some dark decision to win, and he's like, no, this is the first politician I've actually cared about. Like, it's like one of those, right? Like, she can actually,
when she finally becomes Blossom Queen, she gets the power to turn everything to spring, but instead all the flowers die because her heart's impure because she did all this horrible stuff to become Blossom Queen. And like, right, it's the classic,
oh, because they got up to all this skullduggery.
Yes, and then she's gotta go and like fix things, and as he realizes that what he does has real effects on people,
she learns all the wrong lessons and wins despite all that. So in order to rectify, she needs to duel Ares to allow yes. spring to come back into the earth.
She challenges Ares to a war game known as yes. Warhammer 40K, yes. right? But she's
Ares.
Thrown out all of her Warhammer figurines because they had to get rid of them. Well, he was like, this is embarrassing. You shouldn't be
yeah,
into
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
like,
bad
no,
image,
we gotta
bad
destroy
image.
This. So then he has to be her Warhammer champion in this game.
Yep, that's it.
Yep, that's
yep,
the movie.
Yep, okay.
That's
all right,
Geek
we did
Charming.
It. All right.
So that was ours. So this was the one line for what Geek Charming is. To win a high school popularity contest, a high school diva permits a film club classmate to record her popular life, but the film starts documenting her decline instead. I think ours is better.
So it was a fleshlight, not a camera.
No, it was a camera, not a fleshlight.
Okay.
Next one.
51. Going to the mat.
Going to the mat. And Matt spelled M-A-T.
Matt M-A-T.
Going to the mat.
Well, why don't you describe the poster this time?
Oh, okay. My God.
So
not as exciting.
Not as exciting.
This one's not as exciting. It's like, all right. So we have, there's more to winning than meets the eye. Andrew Lawrence going to the mat and Wayne Brady as Mason Wyatt. Okay, so you've got two white boy teens with big
like wearing Letterman.
Wearing Letterman jackets. One is on top of the other one's shoulders and one of them's pointing to the sky. And then we have Wayne Brady, and Wayne Brady is wearing sunglasses, and that and the tagline, there's more to winning than meets
he's
the eye.
Blind,
really
probably.
Suggest
he's
think
blind.
He's probably blind.
Yeah.
And then I think this might be like his son or just an African American student behind him also pointing up. So this is like an inspire. Oh, then it's wrestling. It's a wrestling movie.
Oh, Matt.
No, but look in the bottom left corner, Matt, for a clue. You see in the
what
bottom left corner, there's a Disney logo. It says Disney Channel Original. But if you look in the ears of the Mickey Mouse head, there's
oh,
two
wrestling.
Wrestlers facing off.
Okay, so
why is Wayne Brady and this kid just like celebrating and clapping and waving to these two white boys that I like, can't get out?
So, when's the last time you saw two white boys giving each other like a piggyback ride? In this way,
this is me and Matt every time we have a good story break.
Yeah,
episode.
This is how. Yeah, this
with
is
your finger
okay.
in the air, victory,
victory. Okay, so unfortunately, there's no like, oh well, the two guys are like clearly fused together and are a two man monster or something like that. We don't have a fun twist we could do where Sarah Hyland is 50 feet tall now.
I will also say really quickly the fact that it says Wayne Brady as, and I can't read it because it's very
yes,
blurry.
It's like a real. Person.
It makes me feel like this is a real person. So, do we want to look up this person and be responsible for doing an honest portrayal, or just accept that? Sorry if we do this person dirty, because we're not going to look them up.
I think, in the spirit of it, we offer our sincere apologies to Mason apologies. Wyatt right now.
Who's
for
probably an incredible person who is worthy of the story told on Disney Channel,
and this is going to be wildly inaccurate. But just to shoot from the hip, I don't feel like Wayne Brady is wrestling in this movie. I don't think it's about grown man Wayne Brady wrestling with teenagers. So I feel like maybe he's
I got it. So that we don't have to do wrestling. Wayne Brady is a wrestling coach, but he's washed up.
Okay.
And it's the classic, like, the person who coached one thing can also be good at the other. I think, since they are on each other's backs, this is actually a world where there is varsity...
Pool wrestling thing?
Yeah,
pool,
what's the
joust,
game in
pool
the pool?
Jousting.
Or some,
jousting. Pool jousting.
Pool jousting. This is a varsity pool jousting team.
That's exactly what I was saying.
What's the names for that? There's different colloquial names. I thought it was, like, chicken fighting or something like that. Anyways, you know what I mean?
I've heard chicken fight.
You're talking about... where like you're in the pool and your buddy's on your shoulders and then they're you're
yes.
shoving over another two people, right?
And then the team that wins is the person who gets the other person. Yes, you
knocks
try to
the
knock off
out.
The person off the shoulder.
I see.
I've heard chicken fight.
Chicken fight. Okay, so chicken fight. All right, so we're saying then that
HU, because their letter jacket just says H, so they go to high school.
They go to high school, to high school high. High school. So, okay, this is very interesting. This is intriguing. So what if it's like one of these? What if Wayne Brady isn't a retired football coach? What if he's like a retired swimming coach or a swimmer, or he was a former lifeguard, but then he lost his sight and he can't be a lifeguard anymore? You do that. The wrestling team got shut down and they lost their money, so now they have to do pool fights, and then Wayne Brady's going to be their begrudging
new coach? You just do wherever this is, like Austin, Texas or something. There's pool fight. You will get a thing where like...
I like that we're just calling it pool fights now.
Or, sorry, chicken fight,
no,
whatever.
It's pool fights. Pool jousting.
Pool fights. It's pool fights. It's pool fights. You know, you'll get like Quidditch or something. There'll be like five colleges in the same area that like get into that, and their clubs that get big enough. So I feel like this is like wherever this is. It's like Austin, Texas. There's like five or six high schools that this has become a thing. So it's like, yeah, it's a thing. In these schools in this area, it's popular. Because these kids have varsity jackets. So you just have to go with the VGHS style. That pool fighting is dope as hell. It's good enough that you get varsity jackets for doing it.
Listen, I pole vaulted in high school. That's an equally absurd sport.
I feel like this school there is like the worst at it because they're obviously going to need help, right? I feel like they lost money and they had to drain their pool, so they don't have a pool at their school anymore or whatever.
But where does this wrestling thing come in? So you're saying these guys aren't wrestlers that have to learn how to do pool fights. They're just pool fight guys, and Wayne Brady, Mason Wyatt, has to learn how to
coach them because they're such losers. Yes, and then he's found the inspiration. He's like, you guys are champions. Like, you know, there's wrestling techniques. Because again, you're essentially wrestling on each other's shoulders.
Yeah, and he's washed up because no one likes wrestling anymore because everyone's into the cool sport of pool fighting.
Well, also, to be fair, Will, if pool fighting was a thing, I doubt there's, like, pool fighting coaches. If you had to draw a coach from somewhere.
Well, hold on, though. That undermines the whole narrative of the world building, because you're saying that pool fighting is such a big deal that there's varsity pool fighting and it's a big deal, but they can't find people to coach it?
It's a new big deal.
Okay, no, they can't, but this school sucks.
No, it's not Leatherheads. It's a new big deal.
It's a new big deal. All right, so not to be stubborn, but I will point out that it does seem to be the two young gentlemen in the Disney Mickey Mouse ears who are wrestling. So hear me out. Let me do you one more.
No, you don't see their legs. You don't see their legs. There could be people underneath those legs.
That's true. That could be in the water. You see from their waist up. So theoretically, they could be on top of people's shoulders there. And they're getting ready to jump at each other in the pool.
That's true. They could be on top. Oh, my God. Okay. So pool fight. All right. Is it the kids are the main character and this cool new coach comes in and teaches them? Or is it he's the main character and, you know, he's going to teach the kids, but really they're going to teach him?
In this poster, the Photoshop layers are very clearly the two kids are number one layer. Right? They're like at the front of the poster.
Yes.
And Wayne Brady and his son or another kid or whatever are slightly behind them and clapping and cheering them on.
Yes.
So I do feel like these two kids are the main character, at least according to this poster.
It's a four-hander. You know, it's like it's a lot going on. So Goofus and Gallant here, these two high school boys.
Yeah.
What's their deal? Let's start with them. They'll start with their best friends, obviously. Wait,
by the way, I'm sorry to say this, fellas, but we're like 2 minutes away.
Okay, so we got Goofus and Gallant here. They're best friends. Is it their dream to start a swim team at this school, maybe?
The kid on top that's cheering has lost... His best friend is the kid behind him who drowned recently, so he's become scared of swimming. So he has to overcome his fear of swimming in order to make it to this championship, which if they win the championship, the principal will agree to fill their pool back up with water. That's what it is. They're just trying to get their pool back. The school's lost the pool. So these guys are down and out. It's like, you guys are so bad. Like, the rest, like, we're embarrassing Austin, Texas. The rest of these high schools have great swim fighters, but our team's terrible. We've drained the pool because we're out of money. We can't afford a pool skimmer
anymore.
You
know, their rivals, the skateboard team, are using the pool now to do their sick birds.
They're using it.
That's so good.
Sick fucking grabs, dude.
Oh, yeah. And then their story is like the guy who's holding him up, like the guy he depends on, like he falls in love with like a skateboarder. And he's even like the low point would be like he's thinking about going skateboarding. And this kid can't get past the fear of swimming that he has now. And he's like, don't worry. Like, he's like, oh, because he doesn't trust him anymore. He's like, if you drop me, I'll drown. Dude, those are such high stakes.
Oh, my God. That's very good. That's very good. Okay, where does Wayne? That's incredible. That's so good. Where is Wayne Brady the father of his friend who died?
Oh, yes. And then he's got to coach him and also overcome the death of his
son. Yes. Okay, so Wayne Brady is
and
the father
name?
Of the kid.
The kid's name is Matt with one T.
Matt Wyatt?
Does that make sense?
So Matt Wyatt.
Going to the mat.
So going to the mat. So basically, okay, here we go then. Mason Wyatt's not a coach. Mason Wyatt is a sports psychologist. He's like a therapist, right? He's going to like, he needs to get over the death of his son. And his son's best friend also has to get over his death. And, you know, he also, you know, like they're going to team up together to get him over his fear of water so that they can go win the sports championship for swim fighting with his best friend who's falling in love with a skateboarder.
Yes, in order to get the pool back. And they're like, don't you understand? Matt's favorite thing to do is swim in that pool. The high school, I don't want to go to the high school without a pool that Matt loved to swim in. They're like, yeah, sure, that's fine. Whatever. Go ahead. Okay, that's dope. Okay. That's good.
Going
to the
mat.
That one.
So the real story for going to the mat, if you guys want to hear it.
Whatever. I don't care what it is.
Jace Newfield has a problem. Besides being blind and being the new kid at school, his problem is that the kids at his new school think he's a jerk. Jace has to find a way to be accepted in new school. Joining the wrestling team just might work. Incidentally, one of the most critically acclaimed of the Disney Channel original movies. It got a Directors Guild Award, a Humanitas Award writing nomination for the writers. Yeah, so doesn't appear to be based on a true story.
Okay.
I did not think that the kid was blind.
Also unclear if Wayne Brady plays a blind kid. I guess it makes sense if the kid.
I like that they put the blind kid, who the story is about, into the...
In the back.
Well, is that the blind kid or is it one of
I think he's the one on top.
Or is one of these high school hunks the blind guy?
Oh, it was one of the high school hunks.
He's a H for hunk on the shoulders of another hunk.
High school hunk.
All right.
All right. Well, that
see.
Sounds like a pretty good movie.
Wow.
I got to say, though, I kind of liked ours, but...
I kind of like ours. Okay, before we continue, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get to the rest of them after this. We'll be right back.
One, two, three.
Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
We're both doctors and...
Nope, just me.
Okay, well, Sydney's a doctor and I'm a medical enthusiast and we create... Okay. Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Every week I dig through the annals of medical history to bring you the wildest, grossest, sometimes dumbest tales of ways we've tried to treat people throughout history.
And lately we do a lot of modern fake medicine because everything's a disaster, but it's slightly less of a disaster every Friday right here on MaximumFun.org as we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. And remember,
don't drill a hole in your head.
Next one, 56. There's a few down. Now you see it. Wait, is this the...
Now you see it. The magic movie.
Is this the magic movie?
Oh, my God. It is a magic
now
movie.
Now you see it.
All right, Freddy.
Oh, it is a fucking magic movie, boys.
Oh, God.
Freddy, why don't you describe the Now You See It poster?
Oh, Now You See It. Okay.
Shit. Oh, this is before Now You See Me. I was going to feel like this feels like a Now You See Me ripoff.
So this is 2005.
Wait, there's two posters. Okay, which poster are you guys doing?
I'm doing the one that has the very strong Disneyland Tomorrowland, like, airbrush lens flare energy. Disney, okay, yeah, now yeah. You see it. We have a explosion of what appear to be tally-ho playing cards at the camera. There is the Ace of Diamonds on which a... teenage girl blonde is like looking at you over her shoulder. Doesn't make a lot of sense because the ace, as you all know, is not a face card. Behind her, we have a guy with a very serious look. He's doing that teen thing where he's wearing a long sleeve shirt underneath his red t-shirt, and he's holding two cards or stacks of cards towards camera in biddle grip. One appears to be the nine of spades. The other appears to be another face card. He has a very serious magician look about him. And then between them, on a card, it appears to be another, like, dark silhouetted figure. A bad guy, perhaps, on another ace. Completely unclear.
It looks like Christopher Lee. I found a high-resolution poster to analyze.
I swear to God, I haven't looked at the plot. I Googled it. It's Frank Langella.
Okay. But yes, he looks like a scary...
scary bad guy. Yes.
It feels like... he supplies real magic. Like, this poster makes me think that this nerdy-ass kid magician, because let's be honest, this kid looks...
I do want to point out that this kid is dual-wielding card decks. He is John Woo-style shooting off cards from two separate decks. Guns akimbo.
He's, like, auditioning for Gambit here.
The other thing that I've noticed now in the higher resolution is that behind him, purple lightning bolts appear to be exploding into his body.
Yeah, I mean, there's real lightning. I mean, it's
real
that
lightning.
He gets real magic.
Okay, now you see it. So there's not a lot to go off of here. Boy, oh boy.
He does a card trick.
He does a card trick. He's a student, like a kid magician, right, from a high school talent show. He does a card trick, and he accidentally entraps his crush into the Ace of Diamonds. Now, she must live her two-dimensional life in the Ace of Diamonds, and he needs to figure out how to get her out of his deck of cards.
Oh, yes, because he went to Frank Langella, because, like all magic card people. He's like, I want to use card tricks to get babes. And,
and he runs the creepy magic shop.
And Frank Langella was like, yes, I shall give you this power. But it's a classic monkey's paw thing. Because he's like, oh yeah. No, I didn't mean to put her in the card.
It's not a talent show. He is trying to start a career as a magician, which, as you know, Freddie, is very difficult.
Nearly impossible.
And it's kind of like eighth grade. Like, it reminds me of this episode of Party Down. Like, I feel like she's kind of like a rich girl, and her parents are throwing a big birthday bash, and they're hiring entertainment.
Yes.
And he gets his first gig.
Yes.
And then doesn't realize that he's literally doing a gig.
Good.
Yeah, he's doing a gig at his girl's crush birthday party. He's like, oh shit, all my tricks are lame. I just know how to do the three balls in the cup. I need a better trick.
I need a real trick. I can't just do the 21 card
yes.
trick.
He's looking for that dark magic stuff.
And he goes to the magic shop in town, yes. and the guy's showing him, it's like, whoa, what about this? It's a, oh, it's double facers. Oh, look at this. It's a one way.
You don't understand,
stack.
Dude. If I do a bad trick, I'm not just dead. I'm gonna be unpopular for all of high school. He's like, oh man.
Whoa, what about
this is real shit. I'll show you a real trick.
Every movie we do on Story Break should be about high school. It's so fun because none of it fucking matters at
matters.
All. Oh no, I'm gonna be unpopular.
Really quick, I just want to take 1 second here. He goes to the magician guy. The guy's like, "Here's the newest release from Sans Mines," and he's like, "Dude, I can't fucking do it. That's only camera good. It doesn't work in real life." And he's like, "I know. That's kind of the problem with all of Sans Mines releases, isn't it?" Four people got that.
Okay, here's what it is. When he traps the girl in the card,
yes,
I think so. It's just not her trying to save. I think the bad guy's story is he is like the dark version of our main character. He is a magician that was made fun in high school all the time, and now what he does is he traps popular kids in playing cards.
Just that's what? to spite them?
Yeah, no, like he's a creepy magician, dude.
Yeah, okay, so hear me out. I like all that. So here's
this
what I'm thinking.
So good.
I don't think the girl on the poster is like the main secondary character. Here's what I think. I think you got classic teen, wants to impress the girl, goes to the party. Maybe there's some other kids that like are more his speed that he should be hanging out with. Like, but you do, he goes to the party. It's like a classic, like he traps her in the card, right? And then now it's everyone at the party trying to unfuck this mess because her parents are coming home and they gotta untrap her from the card before they. Do you know what I mean? Like one of those?
Yes.
Like,
yes. Can I throw something out, please?
Go ahead.
Uh huh.
She gets trapped in the card, but you know what else happens? The card comes into the real world.
My
so this
God.
Cool vaping team, Ace Diamond, shows up in real life and he's the coolest fucking teen with sunglasses and he vapes and he becomes the popularest kid in school. He's like, oh no. So now not only does he need to rescue her, he needs to somehow rein in Ace Diamond, the coolest teen that's ever fucking lived.
Oh my gosh.
Ace Diamond's very good. I was gonna say I like Ace Diamond. I think Ace Diamond shows up. I was gonna say if you want to just stick to the poster, the sidekick should just be the old man. The old man's like, oh no, what have I done? Like, and the kid's like, yo, you're gonna go to prison if you don't help me bring her back. And then there's this old magician who's like doesn't know how to contain his power, and he's had this problem multiple times that he's never dealt with his own power. And then him and his kid team up to go into like the netherworld or whatever.
To stop Ace Diamond.
Yes. Ace Diamond.
Ace Diamond's going to win the presidency and take over our reality because he's such a fucking cool.
Okay, this is good. Ace Diamond is what gave this magician his power. It's like sort of like a genie type thing. Mm-hmm. And this kid literally got Ace Diamond to come out. He's like, you've unleashed Ace Diamond? You don't understand like how much my entire career has been.
He was known by
him.
Many names in the past. Rasputin in Russia.
Here's his sin. The kid steals the deck of cards as Ace Diamond. And he's asking for the coolest trick.
Yeah, he asks for the forbidden tricks. The guy's like, he can't
handle
them.
And the guy's like, oh, this is like, hey, how about that cool deck of cards? Like,
oh, you
no,
can't.
Not
oh, this
that
one's
deck,
supposed to be
anything
out?
But that deck.
Can I interest you?
And the kid takes the deck.
And he's one more. Yeah, exactly.
Unleashes Ace Diamond.
Okay.
And, I don't know. Destroy the world or some shit.
Ace
I don't
Diamond
know.
Is very that. Fun. Here's the other thing I was going to say, because this is also. Okay. I think she can talk. In the car.
Yes.
Yes. Okay,
I think
that's
it's
great.
Like, do you know what I mean? And then she's part of the movie too. And then that's like, yes. She's got her own wacky adventure going on. Cause like, you know, she's like the popular girl and now she's got to hang out with this nerd cause she's like hiding in his pocket all day.
Oh, that's fun. He like puts her in like one of her friend's pockets to like spy on them. And then like she overhears them talking about how much they don't like her and stuff like that.
Oh, no.
She starts seeing like how she's difficult. Yeah. And then she's like animated by Pixar. So like, I think her card can kind of like waddle, you know?
Yeah. She can
good physical comedy.
She can slip into rooms. rooms and get where he can't. Because, like, yes, she's a card. Yeah.
That's very good.
This is very good. This is very good.
Very good.
And okay, so, okay, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Ace Diamond is, like, the real reflection of him. Because Ace Diamond is the sad teen from the card world who, like, you know, is acting out and causing trouble and raising hell. So, Frank Langella, the dumb old magician, and the kid and card girl have to team up to throw a secret party so cool that Ace Diamond will have to show up.
Oh,
and then
shit,
he's going to play a high-stakes card game magic duel against Ace Diamond to trap him back in the other dimension.
Yes, that's very good. It's going to be with the old man, and then, you know, at the last second, like, our main character has to do, like, the trick that he's been practicing at the beginning of the movie that he doesn't know how to do or whatever.
The real magic is believing in yourself, you know? Like,
yes.
It doesn't matter if the trick goes wrong. Like, what the crowd is here to connect with another human being, you know? You got to be yourself.
Dude, that's good as hell.
That's a fucking good movie. Ace Diamond.
Now you see it.
Now you
good,
see
it. Good job. Pull it out for you with Ace Diamond. Okay, right, what's so the original dumbass story?
The original Now You See It was actually just a professional magician, Mystic Max, it sounds like Max Maven much, hosts a reality TV show, allows the winning three teams of minors, would-be directors and cameramen, and the best young magicians, some of them present, to go to a final competition at Hollywood's Magic Mansion. Pushy nerd Allison Miller was lucky enough to discover Danny Sinclair. That's such a teen magician named Danny Sinclair, who performs tricks with stunning surprise but lacks confidence. So it's kind of like a reality show, kind of like,
I mean,
you know,
she's got to fix him up and make him cooler. It's a Beauty and the Geek story, but with magic.
Yes.
In the world of Teen Magic Castle. Okay. All right. I like ours.
All right.
I like ours.
We're 3 for 3.
We're 3 for 3. All right. Okay. The next one is 18... Rip Girls.
Rip Girls?
Rip
Girls. I was going to say RIP Girls, but I think it's Rip Girls.
It's Rip Girls.
There's not a lot going on in this poster. All right, I'll describe this one. Rip Girls.
Yeah, it's like...
First problem, there's just a single girl.
There's a single
in the
girl
poster.
In this poster. Problem number one.
So Rip Girls is written in the font you would expect over a clip art surfboard. And then the actual poster is the titular girl, one of them, or one of the many, I guess, that the title implies, standing on top of a big rock at sunset, holding a surfboard above her head on a tropical, what looks like a tropical island.
There's like palm tree silhouettes in the background.
Yeah.
The shadow is not being cast in the correct direction.
Now, I did find another poster.
I found another poster, too. This one has two girls on it. Unfortunately, I think they're both the same girl.
You're right. Oh, you're right, because this is going to be a little bit... Okay, well,
Rip
we don't
girls.
Got a lot of work with.
All right.
It's a girl who surfs.
It's a girl who surfs. Maybe she's a ghost girl who surfs, and it is like Rip, like Riptide, but it's also like,
oh,
rest in peace.
Yes, yes, 100% okay. Yes. Because one, look at her left leg. It's slightly transparent. Number two, look at this meteorite rock clip art thing she's standing upon. That's not like anything from our Earth. This is a ghost. Holding a surfboard.
Maybe she's the daughter of Silver Surfer.
It's, you can tell that she's a ghost because even though the sun is directly behind her, her shadow is directly beneath her feet.
Oh,
shit,
you're right.
Ghost tell.
Holy right. Shit, you're right, dude. How'd you fucking tell it's a ghost?
And you know what a surfboard looks like when you dig it in the sand?
Tombstone.
It looks like a tombstone. Looks like a tombstone. Okay, Rip Girls does imply
more than
one. I bet she could be dead.
Yes.
It feels like there's like a cool band of girls called the Rip Girls on the beach or something that she wishes she was a part
of. Yeah, it's all
something.
The cool ghost surfer girls that, like, you know, and like you're trying to catch that tubular wave into the next life, but you have to shred some gnarly lava flow to fucking make it to heaven, or you get sent down to the deep dark Davy Jones.
Or
Walker.
This girl died trying to be a member of the Rip Girls by pulling off the sickest surf move. I don't know what they're called.
Yes.
Sickest surf flip on the biggest wave possible. And she died, but it doesn't stop her from her dream. And she's still going to be a member of the Rip Girls. The only problem is she's got to figure out how to get them to see her.
Oh, classic teen problem.
Because anytime she goes, everyone's like, what's that loose surfboard doing over there?
And then you do another teen is always on the beach shooting moody, chill wave, lo-fi beach videos. And they're like, wait a second, I think that surfboard is doing cool tricks.
Oh, you could do a love interest, and it's another girl who's an amateur ghost hunter.
Ghost
or
hunter.
Or she's a surf videographer. She's going to make, like, surfing videos, right? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, no.
Oh, yes.
No, no, but the idea of a girl on vacation who's an amateur ghost hunter, and she's like, Bob, all I asked for vacation was some place that had something spooky.
Yes.
Seattle's got the underground tunnels.
Yes.
And they're like, but Dad wasn't. She's like, there's probably some spooky stuff on this island.
Here
it's like,
on
no,
Hawaii.
This is paradise. There's no ghosts on this island. I'm never going to become a famous ghost hunter if I'm stuck in this shitty tropical vacation. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, and her brother's really into surfing, her little annoying brother.
Yeah.
You know, the classic character.
He's part of the Boogie Boys, and they're all 12-year-olds that surf boogie boards.
Oh, and the little brother's like, hey, you got to film me surfing. And she's like, I don't want to film you surfing. And the parents are like, film him
and
surfing.
And like, film your brother surfing. Yeah. It'll be good for your reel when you go to film school. And she's like, Mom.
Yes.
Mom, and then I want to make art house dramas, not surf reels.
And then the brother's looking at the surf footage, looking at his cool, sick flips that he's bad at. And what's that in the background? She notices a surfboard with nobody on it. And she's like, maybe there is a ghost on this island.
Yeah, because the brother realizes that he's like, that's not just a board bobbing up and down. That board's carving. That board's,
yes,
that board's shredding. It's doing kick flips and dark
slides. She needs her brother's help. Yes, that's great. So she's got to connect with her brother that she doesn't like because he knows surfing and she knows ghosts.
She meets the Rip Girl, right? The Rip
Can
Girl.
Can I just pause really quick to say that we're on fucking fire right now? These four movies are better than like the last like 20 movies we've done. These movies fucking rock hard.
Oh my God.
Okay, so yes, what's Rip Girl? What's the ghost thing?
So,
how does she get noticed?
So again, it's a romance, right? It's a doomed romance. Yeah. It's like you've got to like, you fall in love, but it's like, it's almost like a spin on like a vacation summer romance.
Yes, vacation romance is going to end.
It's going to end, right? And it's, you think it's going to end because she's going to fly away back home, but it's really going to end because the ghost is going to move on. Right.
Yes, the ghost is going to move on.
You have the scene where she's like learning to surf, and then the Rip Girl ghost is like Patrick Swayze style, just like ghost style, like showing them the moves as a ghost.
They're carving on the board together. Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Here's how you can get fun, weird brother sister. Like the brother should be like, you know, like really young. He's like in like fourth grade or something, and she's like in eighth grade. It should be the ghost realizes she can possess somebody's body in order to surf and then can actually be seen.
Oh.
Oh, it shouldn't be the brother. But then the idea that she like takes control, like, you know, can kind of like make our character actually
surf. Yeah, you don't
surf.
Want that to be the brother because then you want to play the romance, right? Isn't that part of the idea?
Yes. So,
yeah, so
it's like
be the
very like little, like she literally takes, like they can share a mind.
Although I don't know what teenager it would be appropriate for this ghost to possess so that you can play a romance between them.
That's true. I think it's got to stay as a ghost, dude.
Okay, so yes, so she falls in love with this ghost. All right, so it's like the ghost wants to, again, it's like, how do you.
The ghost needs her to solve her fucking murder. The ghost needs her to solve her murder. She's like, somebody sabotaged my board during the big riding competition and killed me, and you have to solve my murder so I can move on, but you can't move on. I love you.
Well, I was gonna say you could also do that if the ghost girl is caught up in like popularity because she wanted to be part of the Rip Girls. She thinks if she becomes a member of the Rip Girls, she can finally move on.
I see.
Or whatever. Like she needs to prove she's the best surfer.
Oh, like she needs to prove.
But that's not really her problem.
So they have to prove that she's really this girl who's a ghost. Which helps our main character's goal because she wants to prove the ghosts are real.
If you need her to actually compete, you can do whatever. The ghost hunter girl actually knows a bunch about ghosts. And yes, there's some way that they can make her corporeal for the finale, right? Like literally you can have the ghost show up and have the actual competition and have a chance to be
a
Rip
Girl. Wait a second. What if you do this? What if the person she can possess is our main character?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Maybe I just misheard.
That's okay. Listen, I don't mind that. That's fine. However, you're missing out on the possibility of her being like, we can create a dummy out of like mud and sticks and palm trees, and then we can dress it up Weekend at Bernie style, and it turns out, and then we can animate it and make it corporeal, so then this like Weekend at Bernie style type of like ghost dummy can do the surfing, and then she can talk to it and smooch it.
But it looks like a big mud man.
They get a mannequin from the local surf shop, and she can possess the mannequin.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's fun. And then she's just this like mannequin, like, hey, you don't look like you've had a lot of sun. How is that possible? We're on a tropical island. Joke.
Hey, make sure you get some sunscreen on.
Man, fucking writes itself.
So where does this go? So she has to.
She thinks she has to become a member of the Rip Girls
in order to move on
but
to
then
the next place.
The second act turn is she becomes a member of the Rip Girls, but then as Freddie says, she needs to solve her murder.
I realized that the Rip Girls were originally the ones who killed her.
I mean, like on a character level, it's like she has to let go of like, again, because you're right that like becoming a Rip Girl wouldn't help, right? Like what is the
help.
And then what is the crisis for our main character is the other thing I'm trying to figure out.
Crisis for our main character.
Like, does Neil deGrasse Tyson shows up and goes like, actually, ghosts are real.
He's like, I'm taking a tropical vacation with my family. Her dad is just Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That's very good.
Actually, it turns out ghosts are not real. And it's like, God, Neil! You're getting in the way of my summer romance.
You'd probably do something like, if this was a Disney movie, you could do that. The reason she's really into ghost hunting is because she's not dealing with the death of one of her parents. I know. And then, like, that's what she's going to, you know, come to terms with that.
I feel like we're almost there. We're almost there.
We're almost there.
Rip Grows is cooking. It just needs that Ace Diamond heat. That's what I'm saying.
So
you've got the ghost, you've got the girl ghost videographer. She meets, again, it's girl meets girl, they meet, you know, they're trying to help her have her surf video go viral so she can get accepted by the Rip Girls so that she can, you know, move on, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're hanging out, they're working, they're surfing. I do like the idea that maybe she possesses our main character and teaches her how to surf, or like, I don't know, maybe not. And then they're going to fall in love. They have a ghost kiss at the luau,
mm-hmm.
and... Yeah, what?
Oh, I don't know how you get there. I feel like there'd be a really cool scene where, like, our main character is, like, drowning and the ghost girl can't, like, actually save her. Like, it's just, like, really intense.
Definitely not, like, a smooch at the luau. It's too boring. They're just chowing down on fucking Kahlua pork, and it's just, like, the best pork-eating montage because I fucking love Kahlua pork, dude.
Well, yeah, they can do that. They're still smooch. Sorry, Freddy. I think the teenagers who are watching this movie are like, man, I'm sure glad instead of smooching, they ate barbecue pork.
You fucking made this movie. Slow-cooked Hawaiian Kahlua pork? Oh, my
fucking
God. Over rice, dude?
36-year-old single man
over
wrote this
rice?
Movie.
All right, okay. Best.
All right.
I got it.
But here's a crazy
shoot
idea.
Shot.
You do... She's trying to get video evidence of ghosts to become some member of some ghost hunting
to get
party
a reality
or
show on ghost hunters.
And she gets a guy here because she convinces him that there's a ghost that's about to surf.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't realize that this guy's like a bad dude who like captures ghosts a la, like, you know, ghost hunters or whatever. And this guy captures her right before the big competition or whatever.
I was going to say, I do kind of like the turn that the Rip Girls aren't all there cracked up to be. Maybe the Rip Girls are bad girls, right? Like, maybe they do mm-hmm. kind of suck. And like this girl that she's met that she's helped out is now like this ghost hanging out with like these mean surfing teens. And then maybe she does find out that like one of them sabotaged her board that night or whatever, right?
Oh, I can see
and
that.
And then like, yeah, I don't know. This one, I'm lost on it. Okay,
shit.
What is the end?
I called the shot. I said how good we were and then we can't land this one.
Okay, we got 1 minute. Okay, so she's going to surf, she and her brother, and she's, okay, let's say that she's trying to prove this ghost is real, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it just always feels like it turns to like she just becomes a popular ghost and then like, but like, it feels like the sad thing is the moving on, right? It feels like it needs to be
yeah.
like, that's the real low point. Is like the ocean.
I mean, the
I
point is
on.
That the ghost, it's like she can't capture it because this romance is ethereal mm-hmm. and it's not meant to last, you know? And it's like, hey, stop trying to live and trying to capture all these moments and just try living in them instead. And they go for one last final surf in the sunset and like they, you know, that's it.
Yeah, and then she sees the board coasting away and she realizes that there's no one on it because the ghost is gone.
Yes.
It feels like this is more like Terrence Malick at the end than like Disney
yes.
movies. You know? I mean, like,
I think
that a wacky mustachioed ghost capturer
yes.
shows up.
I think essentially what it is like she always tried to be something she's not in order to fit in. And the ghost at the
oh,
end.
Oh, I've got okay. it. I've got it. So she and the girl have been working on getting the ghost into the thing, right? Like getting the ghost into the Rip Girls or whatever, right?
Yes.
And then like they have their moment where like they've made the cool video and they share this romantic moment and they ghost kiss. And then the Rip Girls are going to show up the next day so that this cool surfing ghost can audition to be in the Rip Girls. But the next morning she can't find Ghost Girl. She's like, oh my God, something must have happened. She thinks like maybe there is like a character that we think is like, you know, like an exorcist or something like that on the island. It's like mm-hmm. she's been captured by the bad guy, right? So then she's kind of like unraveling and then tries to go find the ghost. But then what she realizes is that like the ghost has already moved on. What the ghost really needed was to find true love.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so like the ghost is already gone. Like, so then she has to say goodbye and move on as well. That's the twist at the end. Like the twist at the end is like, no, the creepy old man with a beachcomber isn't, you know, ghost hunter that's going to trap her. He's just an old man. Like, you know, like the, like she just has to let go.
Just looking for coins and rings.
He's
that's
just
all
looking
I
for
do.
Points and rings. I like that though. That's kind of poignant.
Yeah.
Right?
And then the brother's like, hey sis, you want to go hang out? And she's like, yeah, let's go do that. And
yeah,
it's
let's
like,
do
okay.
That.
She's
and
gonna
then
be
you
okay.
have like one last like heartbreaking goodbye moment where the ghost says goodbye.
Yeah.
As she walks by the mannequin, the mannequin's like, hey, hold on before you go. And they have the goodbye.
Right.
Or you do the What's ghost the, comes back from the beyond to save her when she's about to drown at the end or whatever. Okay, we got it. We did it. Boom. Break the legend. We got it.
Rip Girls.
Rip Girls.
What it really is, a 13-year-old learns to surf while visiting Hawaii for the first time to see a plantation she inherited?
What?
What? Let's moving on.
Mm-hmm.
That's it? That's the story?
I mean, it looks like based on the other
storylines. It's like, it's a father-daughter like relationship getting closer sort of thing. And she learns to surf and learns about her mom and
unpacking
stuff.
Unpacking a little colonialism.
Yeah. Okay, guys. I gotta say, I already looked at the poster on the next one because honestly, I was like, maybe we're skipping this one. Maybe this one's not good. But the poster is not what I was expecting.
Okay,
so
what is it?
We're going all the way in. Gentlemen, the last movie of our DCOM lightning round is number 8, The 13th Year. Now, before you click on it, what do you think the poster is?
I think I already saw the poster for this one, so I'm not going to spoil it. What do you think the poster is?
I'm pulling it up now. Motherfucker.
Wait, what? No, I did not realize this.
No way.
I thought it was just like, okay, it's going to be some kid turning 13 or something like that, which it is. But
by the way, this kid does not look like a fucking 13-year-old. This is a 13-year-old ostensibly, but someone who looks like they're maybe early 20s. On the back of a
yacht.
Fairly large fishing boat, you know, a larger fishing boat with like a little outboard thing you can like dive down onto. On top, we have the tagline. On Cody's 13th birthday, he grew. You see him with his hands behind his back, lean back, feet kicked up. Wait, that's not feet. On his 13th birthday, he grew fins. He has fins instead. So he looks like he's in the process of turning into like a merman.
A fish man? Yeah. It's Teen Wolf with a merman.
And then underneath the 13th year, but it's in like high school collegiate football font.
It's in like yearbook font.
His shirt does say swim team on it. So I feel like that's a useful clue.
It says XXL, so you know he's fucking yoked.
I feel like, I mean, who doesn't know the plot of this movie after seeing that poster?
Well, no. I mean, what? It's just like when he's 13, he discovers that
he's a mermaid.
He's like an actual mermaid.
Now, here's how I'll fucking call it, and I bet this is 90% of it right there. He's a kid, he's got a single mom or a single dad, and he didn't know the other parent, and then he turns 13 and weird stuff starts happening to his body, and it's time for his parent to be like, it's time you learned about your other parent. Your other parent was actually a mer person. And now he's like, oh man, I'm gonna be a mer person. But when he used to be like just a normal kid, he was a dweeb who nobody likes.
Will, we're doing another one. You just called it 100%. I just checked IMDb. That's exactly what it is. He's got a single parent. He discovers when he's 13 that the other parent was a mermaid.
Yeah, and then he's, you know, he probably joins the swim team because now he can swim real fast, and then he's going to learn that, like, you know, he's going to, like, learn how to not be a jerk.
By the way, Kristen Stewart's first role as uncredited as a girl in the fountain line in this one.
All right, team, you got a free one. You got 6 because we'll just hit that one out of the park. Here we go. Let's do a real one. That one was just broken right away. Number 39, True Without the E, Confessions.
This is spicy.
True Confessions.
There's not a lot here. Okay, I'm going to describe this poster. True Confessions by the Disney Channel is just blank white poster with a video camera with a little flap open that you can see the monitor. And it just looks like a family. It looks like a mom, a brother and a sister, and then it says True Confessions, and instead of an E, it's the fast forward sign. That's it. That's all we got.
This is Disney's sex, lies, and videotape.
This is for us. This is our challenge round. This is the end game. This is where it all comes together. Can we come up with this one?
True Confessions.
True Confessions.
Okay. By the way, that is Shia LaBeouf.
That is Shia LaBeouf.
Is Shia LaBeouf. Holy shit.
Okay. Back when he was still in the Disney stable as a young man.
Okay.
Wow.
True Confessions.
True Confessions. We got Shia. We got Shia's mom. We got Shia's sister. We got a camera. Maybe like, it's a family and they get a new digital movie camera and
that sucks their
they
souls.
Make confessions on it. And then the movie is like, I don't know. I'm trying to.
Okay, here's what it is. Here's what it is. All right. So someone in the family is trying to make a reality show.
Mm-hmm. It's like EdTV, but for kids.
Yeah. Another clue, by the way, is that there's another poster where we do see a dad in the top right corner. And the dad appears to be missing in the
you're
other.
Right.
Oh, you're right.
In the
you're
other
right.
poster. In fact, photoshopped out.
That kind of feels like dad is the one filming the show, right? Or
so
I don't know.
Dad's trying to be a cool, hip influencer teen. Dad's trying to start a TikTok for his family. Okay.
Okay.
He's going to make his family YouTube famous, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to do it by getting the unedited, raw truth of his family and putting it online for everyone to see. That's fucked up, dude. And he's going to make money off of it. Fuck.
Man, this poster does not give a lot.
Ooh, this is tricky. What if they're all trapped in the camera?
That's the other one I was looking at, yeah.
No, that's too easy. We've done too many of those. Let's do this.
Okay, here we go. Here's something in our wheelhouse, especially Will. How about we do a little like a Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew, like a detective, like while this kid's filming at like a beach party or like Rear a pool
window
party
by
or
the
like
Disney
a family
Channel
event.
Movie.
Yes.
Oh, like Blowout. Yeah.
Yes, Blowout. Yes. And discovers.
Oh, this is very fun. This is very fun because then here's what you do. Here's what you do. It's the classic, like, you know, dad's been filming the party, right? And yeah. It's Shia LaBeouf's birthday party. And then some horrible transgression happens at the party. Like someone eats a big cut out of the birthday party cake. Right. Mm-hmm. And then Shia LaBeouf is so mad. And then maybe it's his sister's birthday. Right. And it's his sister's very special birthday party. And someone ruined it by eating this cake. And, you know, and his sister gets picked on at school. So like he's really protective of her. And so he becomes obsessed with figuring out which one of his piece of shit friends he invited to this party ruined the party. So then he starts going through all of the footage. And it's, do you know what I mean? Like one of those.
And, he gets like clues and he investigates the clues. Like it's like someone has frosting at this point. And he looks, digs into it. But then what he finds is that when he starts digging into it, it's like, oh, shit. He's getting way more than he bargained for. That wasn't cake frosting.
Yeah, because again,
that
he
was,
starts,
you know,
dredging up all these secrets about his own family by watching all the footage. Like he starts piecing the clues together, right? Like kind of one of those.
That's good. And it's like a little bit like, what's the one where the dicks are on the car, painted on the car, the Netflix documentary?
Oh, American Vandal.
It feels like a little bit like he's got this footage and like the confessions are like literally he's calling like friends in and family members and like showing them footage to be like, explain this.
And he can like microanalyze their expressions because he's recording them all the time.
Yes, 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 yes. This is very good.
That's good.
What do you guys think is the core mystery? What is it that sends him down this dark web?
And is this somebody that was like, for example, like me when I was very young and I watched X-Files, I was like, I want to be Fox Mulder. So I bought a bunch of like FBI guides on like how to become a cool detective and how to discover, how to like investigate shit. I got a Cold War. And I went around the neighborhood with like a notepad and like was like, I got to take notes on neighbors to make sure like they're doing anything wrong.
Will, a quick 30-second digression on this one. Matt, when you studied to be an FBI agent at the age of 12, what did you learn?
I learned the layout of my neighborhood pretty well on a bike. and that's about it. I didn't learn much. Mostly just a lot of going around on bikes and like checking out every possible book at the library that had like cool. You know what it was? I was like, I just want to play with gadgets. That's all it was. That's really what it came down to. I just want to play with cool gadgets.
Well, here you are, painting Warhammer and making movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is very good. This is very good. So, like, I feel like it's got to be something innocuous enough because it's also one of those ones where, like, the ultimate resolution of the mystery itself, who ate the birthday cake, who did this, who did that, like, it ultimately, well, it could have been a fucking raccoon. Like, it doesn't matter because it's, like, all of this other stuff that came up when he started dredging into the, you know, the murky waters of his family, like, is, like, the more compelling part of it to me.
Yes. Maybe the dad's disappeared in the poster because he finds out what starts as who ate the birthday cake turns into mom murdered dad.
Whoa.
No, that's pretty gritty. That feels like it's not quite a Disney Channel movie.
This is Disney Channel After Hours.
Disney Channel Dark. Dark Mickey.
Yes. What's the mystery?
Okay. So it feels like...
You could do something too where like maybe the kid's antisocial and like he's supposed to be playing with like, you know, like a cousin or like a neighbor that he should be playing with or like, and like again, this also, yes, he's trying to solve this mystery, but it's also serving as an excuse for him to not interact with anybody. Mm-hmm. Could be like, you know, a little bit like his sister's doing well here and the mom's like, you gotta be more active and stuff. And then of course he teams up with a kid who's also involved in the mystery, right? And finds a friend.
Yes.
Pretty classic.
Yes.
Doesn't solve what the mystery is, but it's like, you know, that's his thing, I guess.
Hear me out. What if it's like he got an Xbox as a birthday present, and then when he went to open the birthday present, like it was ripped open and someone stolen the Xbox. It's
whoa.
Like, how did someone steal this Xbox from this party? There's been like a zillion people here. And is there a working class family other than this digital camera? They don't have much. So like the parents had saved up to buy them the Xbox and they can't afford it anymore. You know, like the sister, like, you know, that like everyone chipped in. So it's like it's heartbreaking, right? Or something like that. I don't know.
The true confession, the horrible thing at the end when he like he makes his party go crazy. It's like he's got everybody in there. He's like, I know who did it. And it's like that whole thing. And then finally the sister breaks down. It's like, I did it. And he's like, what? Why would you take it? He's like, no, it's that, you know, we couldn't afford an Xbox and like I thought it'd be funny to get an Xbox box and then you open it up and there's nothing in there, but then you got upset and I thought, well, that's great, this way he thinks somebody did get him Xbox. Like, it's that thing, like she was playing that classic trick. I don't know if anybody did that.
She bought the old Xbox box. I remember that.
Oh, this is very good, because then you do that, because again, it's an Xbox box, but it's got a bunch of fucking, like, you know, like it's got nothing in there, and he threw the box aside before he saw the real gift in there, which was like a really heartfelt felt like, you know, a trinket or something that she made with love. Do you know what I mean? And he didn't even see it because
she thought he was rejecting it.
He just cast it aside without even looking and flew into this rage about where the fuck is my Xbox? Who took it? Right.
That's good.
This is great.
And she's like, don't you get it? Don't you get it? You wanted to play with Master Chief. In the end, the Master Chief was here. Your own family was the Halo you were looking for.
And he realizes what a jerk he's been. Yeah.
That's very good. Him and his sister get along. And then at the end of this, he's like, well, guess I went a little overboard, but maybe next year I get an Xbox. And then the parents like, this clearly shows you're not mature enough to get an Xbox.
This clearly shows you're not ready to finish the fight Halo 2.
How about we work on your people skills and you not accusing an entire party and ruining your sister's party, ruining your whole birthday party for an Xbox. And then we could talk about
it. Yeah, so basically, yes. And then the meat and potatoes of the movie is that he fucking... After this party, he becomes a recluse. He's paranoid at school. Who stole the Xbox? He's chasing down these leads. He's reviewing the footage. And then meanwhile, he's coming up with all these conspiracy theories. Like, you know, Brad was holding hands with Connor's girlfriend at the party. And
He's like ruining relationships.
Yeah, he's just
and like
this
ruining
scorched earth, right? Like he's just going down this darker and darker path. And like, we think there's a real bad guy, but then it turns out to be a total red herring. You know, he finds out that his parents are fighting and they're seeing a therapist and all of this stuff. And then the end is the dark confrontation. And then his sister revealing what had happened, and he's like, I've ruined everything. And then you do, but it's like a funny ending, right? It's like, oh, we'll get you an Xbox next year, kid. Don't worry about it. And then it's just like,
and don't worry, grandma got you that. I totally remember I wanted Mario 64, but my parents couldn't afford a 64. And then I had a Nintendo, and my grandparents were like, I know you didn't want Nintendo, but your mom said you would like this. And it was like the Bugs Life video game for Game Boy. And I was like, thanks, grandma. And like, I played it, I had to play it the whole party so they would think I liked it.
It's like one of those, he learns to be a good kid, he has to do an apology tour with all the people he pissed off, and then you know, it's still like a kind of upbeat ending despite it being a very dark story.
Well, at the end is like him, he's like playing whatever crappy game he actually got for his like old system, and his sister's like, hey, do you mind if I play? And then him and his sister are playing together, and it's like, I'd rather be playing this crappy game with you than Halo by myself.
So this is basically a noir, and if noirs always end with the main character gut shot in like a pool of their own blood, or like they go to the slammer, so it is like maybe at the end of this thing, like he gets grounded for like a fucking like the whole rest of the summer.
Oh, here's what it is. It literally starts, okay, this is good. It starts beat for beat Sunset Boulevard, but instead of a body in the pool, it's an Xbox, right?
It's the box, yeah.
So then the twist that there was never an Xbox, it would be like at the end, it's like because somehow he ends up getting an Xbox, but because of like him destroying everybody, like one of the people he like ruined, like the bully comes in, like I feel like he gets rewarded with an Xbox, but the ultimate curse is like, no, it gets thrown in the pool. Like, is a double twist of the audience too, because they assume there must have been an Xbox in that box, because we know that it's in the pool at the end of the movie.
Oh, but we're in fact seeing the ending.
Yes, but then it's like, whatever, his reward is an actual Xbox, but the crimes he committed throughout this get that Xbox thrown into the pool or whatever.
Oh, yes. Okay. As a punishment, his parents throw it. They're like, we did buy you a new Xbox, but you know what? You're not mature enough. He's like, no! They throw it in the pool.
And yes, and he's fighting over it. It's the classic, they're fighting, and then it slips out of the hands and falls in the pool. And he's
that's very good. Good. Yes, that's
the giant Xbox controller beating some kid right in the noggin because it's a big old controller.
And then in the background, you hear the parents arguing. Like, it's so dark. It's like he's screaming. He's like looking at the pool. He's like, maybe it's still good. He's like grabbing the pool skimmer, and the sister's laughing. In the background, you hear the mom's like, can you return that shit? He's like, I don't know. He's your son. It's already wet. He can't return. It's just like, he's just staring there looking at the Xbox as it slowly sinks into the pool.
Oh, no. I thought it was going to be like a funny, upbeat ending. All right, whatever. Well, you know, that's for when we turn it into an actual script. But that's pretty fun. I feel like it's a good movie.
Yeah, probably not that actual dark ending.
So here's what it really is. True Walker thought she had the worst life ever, and having a father who was always working, a mother who never took her side, and a mentally challenged brother, so they're going there with Shia LaBeouf, didn't help. But when True gets a chance to follow her dream and star in a TV show, she finds out what it really means to be a family. So it's one of those. It's kind of like a reality show.
That's not at all what we did.
Not at all what we got.
That poster does not really give much of that away.
Does not. That's going to do it for us this week on a very wild week of Story Break. I think we've gone to a lot of places.
That was a good lightning round, I think.
That was a good one. I had fun.
We got to a lot of places with this one. I had a lot of fun.
That was
with
a good variety.
Well. Thank you to Chad Ellis for editing this podcast. Thank you to
Maximum Fun for being our excellent podcast network. And also thanks to everybody who supported us during the Max Fun Drive.
Yes, thank you so much. A very successful drive.
Yeah, so thank you to all. Thanks to my co-hosts, Matt Arnold, Will Campos. You can check us out on Twitter at RJ Storybreak, on Facebook, bit.ly/StorybreakFB.
Oh, we got some fan art.
Oh, we got some fan art.
Oh, yeah. I got to talk about the fan art. Some more great fan art from James Redensek on Twitter. He did a very cool, very creepy series of digital art for Freddy's Dream. They're super cool.
Oh, yeah.
This was awesome. So thanks very much once again to James. You can find that at twitter.com/RJStoryBreak or bit.ly/StoryBreakFB.
Nice. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. We'll see you all later. My name is Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye.
What do you look for in a book? Literally, if on the bag it said, like, this book made me shit my pants, I'd be like, I'm buying this book.
Yeah.
Like, I think the problem with blurbs a lot of times...
I like that we both want to crap ourselves over books.
What's the best way to e-read in the tub?
Listen to that noise. I'm reviewing a plastic bag today.
How do you find a good book?
This is the most fucked up weird shit you've ever read. You're like into it. Hand it over.
Take my money.
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
We're Reading Glasses and we solve all your bookish problems. Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.